Welcome to Dungeon Delve, a podcast from Dungeons & Dragons featuring live play D&D adventures in convenient audio form. I'm Chris Perkins, Dungeon Master to the Stars and Principal Story Designer for D&D. The language and situations in this podcast may not be appropriate for everyone. And by everyone, I mean everyone. The third session of Acquisitions Incorporated was recorded in late 2009 and is represented in episodes 9 through 12 of Dungeon Delve. The party is unceremoniously kicked out of Fallcrest and makes its way to the dwarven city of Hammerfast. There is also an incident with an acid pit, but it's not important. You'll see what I mean. Note, the rules used in this session are from an earlier edition of Dungeons & Dragons, but the role-playing and storytelling are pure D&D.
And you thought Critterus was bad.
I did. Well, I was under the impression I was a real foul person.
Critterus.
Jerry is a cunning linguist. Okay.
I think once again we should avail ourselves of the opportunity to introduce
slash
eye rolls.
Oh yes.
Start over there. Start over here. This is Scott Kurtz, also known as Benwin Bronzebottom, fighter dwarf extraordinaire.
Employee of Acquisitions Incorporated.
That's true.
Headed up by CEO Ominifus Hereward Drawn. Played by Jerry Holkins.
This is Mike Krahulik, playing Jim Dark Magic, Wizard Extraordinaire.
Of the New Hampshire Dark Magic?
Of the New Hampshire Dark Magic. I'm
such a fan of his.
New Hampshire.
It's a dash.
It's officially a shire?
New Hampshire.
This is Will Wheaton. I am playing
Al.
Aofel. His name is Aofel. Let's all say it together.
Aofel.
I respect your name, Aofel.
His name is Aofel Alfamani. He is an Eladrin Avenger, and he brings down furious anger. He carries with him Wheaton's cock punch of furious anger.
Which can be leveraged as a free action.
Hey, clean slate. Jerry's not
me to interrupt.
Jerry's going to roll good. That's good for anyone on the table, not just Jerry.
Hey, now, so do you have your oath ready to go?
It's ready.
It's on deck?
It's loaded. Okay. I have it chambered and ready to go.
And you are?
And I am Chris Perkins, your humble DM and the recipient of Wheaton's cock punch, being the guy running the monsters today.
Yeah.
Should we mention that?
No, you can roll bad all you want.
Should we mention that all the dice that people hear rolling today will be available for Child's Play?
Yep.
Yeah,
thanks to Will's great idea.
Some you may want, some you may not want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's up to you. We'll keep them in individually marked bags so that you can throw away certain D20s and keep others.
Yeah, I thought that it would be cool. It'll be like a game ball.
Yeah.
From, you could go and buy like a football or
plus, it's an excuse to go home and buy new dice, so I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm totally fine. These dice have done very well. And I have the, my set will include the extra D8 that I've been using for sneak and my rogue character. Wow. So this is a bonus dice.
Yeah.
It's a bonus dice.
Because most of your dice are blue and that one's red.
Exactly.
Benwin's fiery dice of lava death.
Molten.
Wow, they look like lava.
They look like candy.
I went to the dice store and I wanted to find the most basic old school looking dice I could find that didn't have the color in. So mine are yellow with black numbers.
Yeah, I think those are like war game
dice. I was wondering, did that come in the blue box?
The DM's dice have little Futhark runes all over them.
Oh, wow.
Futhark? What?
Wow.
Fuck yeah.
Don't touch them. Touch them. Don't touch them. They will carry bad things over to your dice.
They're clear, but they're full of sparkly magic dust. Which I like.
Yeah.
Residuum.
Yeah.
Really? That's all. I mean, were those are those your wife's dice?
No, they're not my wife's dice.
I didn't know because they're sparkly.
Don't massage him.
A man can appreciate an attractive die.
I guess so.
Actually,
mine are made of fire.
You see the way
I'm seeing the way it's catching the light. The sunlight is actually kind of
incredible. Is that an S1? Is that an S1 or an S2? Is that any inclusions?
He's talking about diamonds.
Yeah, see? I don't even know about that.
You understand? It's his people. His deep people and their gem-loving ways.
Oh.
Manly.
I'm sorry, Chris. Would you like to play Dungeons & Dragons?
It is Monday, right?
It is.
All right. We are in the town of Fallcrest. It is midwinter, and snow has settled over everything. And you guys have been holding up in your favorite sanctuary, the Silver Unicorn.
Mm-hmm. So we're continuing to operate out of the basement. Do we have some new furnishings?
You've actually kind of moved up into the first floor and the second
floor.
Yeah. We made a bit of a name for ourselves? Well, it's more like there have been a dearth of visitors to the inn lately. This season is not too busy, so Wisara is more than happy to dote on you and allow you a free run of the place. And on this particular occasion, you thought it would be good. She thought it would be good to reacquaint you with Captain Nathan Faringray.
I see.
Who is sitting at the end of a table having dinner with you on this cold winter's night, but you are all enjoying the warmth of a fire.
Right, right.
And we delivered a quality service to him last time, so it may be that he's back.
It has been a while. It's been the better part of a year now.
But I remind him every opportunity.
Yep, seasons have passed.
You know what this dinner reminds me of?
Troubled. Uh-huh. He looks a little troubled.
Again?
Yeah, but it's almost like he's trying not to, believe you with his problems.
Okay, well, I'm fine with that. Let's just not do anything.
I beg him to cheer up and give him another flagon of ale.
Thank you.
Yeah, lubricate him?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get him a little drunk.
When you get him a little rowdy, you hear him start to voice concerns about the spring coming, and it's taken him the better part of a year to try to train recruits to defend Fallcrest from all that threatens it.
This is an ongoing
hurdle for him, and unfortunately he's annoyed because it's taken him out of the field, and he has basically been relegated to watching young upstarts flailing at each other with wooden swords. But he says that his better years are behind him anyway, and perhaps he should just face up to the fact that this is his lot in life. And he starts to get depressed and sad, and you realize, oh, he's a sad drunk.
Okay, so it went exactly wrong.
Ixnay on the egg and flave ale.
We should take him on an adventure. Make him feel good. Yeah, give him one last hurrah.
One last hurrah?
I'll go out back and dress up as a werewolf.
Row!
He says, no. Don't
go on my account.
Yes, exactly. Besides, the Lord wouldn't allow it.
Jim sort of subtly slides two tickets to his next performance across the table. He's playing Fallcrest, actually, this weekend. And they're not fantastic seats. They are in the back, but you'll be able to see the action.
Is there such thing as a bad seat at a Jim Mark Darkman?
No, really.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
That's what I've heard.
Listen, I'm kind of friendly with him. I've kind of seen him perform up close. You don't want to miss it.
It's a magical experience.
Yeah.
He says, you should really get out more. And I think that you might actually be able to help Fallcrest.
Do you want me to do two shows? Because, I'm willing. I'm able.
He says, I've been meaning to speak to an old friend of mine. He lives at Five League House, east of Thunderspire. His name is Barton. He's been keeping an eye on some bandit activity.
Sounds like a paying gig.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so when you say help Fallcrest, you mean specifically help the Bank of Fallcrest lighten its load in a financial sense, specifically coins and maybe fungible gems.
I am not exactly sure what you said.
I'm a CEO.
He says, maybe it's the alcohol.
Maybe. Could be the Henny.
We want to know if the job pays is what my boss here is getting around to.
I've heard reports from Barton that over the fall, there have been a number of merchant wagons that have been besieged by bandits.
So he's thinking that we should besiege wagons and get paid?
Maybe he's suggesting that we could keep what we find.
Oh. So rob them after the fact.
Look, it's better to... Maybe we can stop the bandits and keep what we find that they have taken, even if it was someone else's property. That's better than the bandits continuing.
Exactly. And it has a sort of air of legitimacy.
I'm putting words in your mouth here.
Unfortunately, we don't have trained guards to travel the roads throughout the winter, and consequently the trade road has become jeopardized by these brigands. I'm actually at a loss, and I wouldn't want to trouble you with something as benign or as insignificant.
Maybe Molin. It sounds like there's murderous bandits.
They have been around for years. Nothing we do seems to get rid of them. Adventurers like yourselves have tried in the past, but they're like rodents, they return.
Well, it's a cold winter. It sure would be nice to warm up my bones with some action.
with a long walk to the Five League House through the snow.
It is over 60 miles.
Oh, we can't fight them here? We can't bring them to us.
We should send them a letter. Dear bandits.
Dear bandits, big gem at my house.
By the fireplace.
It's been an ongoing
I smile. I mean, he should understand that this is all in it. Like, we sort of know Captain Faring Ray, and he's sort of a sourpuss, and we're always trying to pull him out of his shell. So when we make jokes, I mean, it isn't just table talk. Like, we're actually trying to warm him up. Captain, you know that Acquisitions Incorporated has this sort of task well in hand. Let's not speak of it again tonight. Let's just enjoy the remainder of the evening, and then first thing in the morning we'll set out.
He nods and he gets up out of his chair and he kind of gives you all a knowing glance and a nod of his head. And then he belches and says, I have to take a leak.
Oh.
And he goes outside, throws open the door. A great gale comes in and he sort of disappears out into the snow. Wasara just sort of stands behind the bar cleaning her mugs.
As an arctic gale continues to blow into the establishment,
and then she looks at Jim Dark Magic and nods to the door as if she could use a little bit of help from him to close it.
Jim waves two fingers and the door slams shut.
Wow.
He needed two?
Is that an encounter or a daily?
He's drunk right now.
I'm going to turn that daily over.
Close door dramatically.
She says, "Methinks Faring Ray is troubled by far greater than bandits these days. He has had a difficult year.
Prostate problems."
Okay, so I'm walking over to the bar to talk.
This podcast contains adult language.
Yes,
Captain Faring Ray has been drinking here. Excessively, yes?
Yes.
And you feel that he is troubled?
I do. I feel that he has no control over the defense of Fallcrest. He's been relegated to certain tasks that he finds appalling for one of his station.
Well, what are we supposed to do about it?
We have seen him attempt to train the irregulars.
Yeah, it's quite true.
But you shouldn't be troubled by his affairs. You should be concerned about yourselves. You've spent 6 months here. What are you going to do?
Gainfully employed.
Are you going to perform for the masses of Fallcrest?
It's what they demand of you.
There'd be riots.
While it is true that your activities have garnered you a fair amount of popularity in this town, you have outgrown us.
We're stagnating. We're big fish in a small pond. I've been saying this. We need to expand.
Well, I don't want to expand into training.
His friend Barton is from the east of Thunderspire?
Yes. He is the proprietor of the Five League House, which is a waypoint inn between Thunderspire and Hammerfast, the dwarven settlement that guards over the Dawnforge Mountains.
Oh, you know him?
I don't know. Do I?
You love him?
You can make a history check if you wish.
Oh, excellent. My history has a +2. So, 9.
Five League House, you say?
What?
Seems like a big house.
Dwarves?
You know of Hammerfast. Hammerfast is kind of the largest dwarven settlement probably outside of Thunderspire. It was built originally as a dwarven necropolis. When the dwarves were living in the mountains, they basically honored their dead at this site, but it has since become a community.
An authentic city.
So, yes. I've never been there, right? So I might want to go there. Is it kind of like dwarven Disneyland, as far as honors?
Yeah, big stone rides.
It is sort of a great place for dwarves to connect with various clansmen, to speak to elders, and to basically enjoy all that dwarven society has to offer.
So, you guys would love it.
And they have an app store.
Probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, iPod. Yeah. So she is in no secret language telling us that it's time to leave the unicorn.
She is kind of telling you that.
Okay.
You can also make an insight check to see if she's actually telling you something else.
Yeah,
as well.
I'll try to pull it out, because she's been trying to tell us about the captain as well. We're looking at a 16.
You get the sense that she feels that your strengths aren't necessarily in bringing a sense of comfort to Faring Ray, or even this town.
Oh, I see. He's agitated. He's seeing these young men.
Yes.
He's seeing like a reflection of himself.
Right.
That's fine. I mean, he's been kind to us. He gave us jobs when other people wouldn't. I'm perfectly willing to see if our... It sounds like there hasn't been an incredible amount of work, so...
No. Listen, I don't mean to put the onus of the role-playing on you. I'm just saying that as your employee, I don't feel like it's right to step up and say what we should do. So I'm asking you, boss, what do you want?
Oh, yeah, I've already suggested to him that we're going to take advantage of this
Because I
his suggestion.
I'd love to go to the hammer place. I already forgot. Hammerstead.
Hammerfest. Every time you say it, you should call it a different name.
Hammerfall. Hammerstead.
Hammertown.
Hammermantle.
I'll have to cancel my shows.
Hammer time.
Won't be the first time.
All three people be disappointed. All three people.
Making an illusory jam.
Two of the tickets went to him. Ballcraft.
I'll have my understudy perform.
Yeah. Okay. So
you can certainly do a small favor for him by checking on his friend, but hopefully adventure will find you there.
Yeah. I mean, my guess is that, and I certainly have heard of the Thunder Spire. I know that it is a place that attracts adventurers of all kinds and treasure seekers.
And I've heard of Hammerhead, so I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
And if you want to make Nathan happy, then return one day with stories of the fantastic places you've been.
Exactly. We'll bring news back, or I'll send news back via a mechanical bird of my own devising.
In the meantime, I'll keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
We leave forwarding addresses for Acquisition Incorporated.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, because we spent a lot of money on all that stationery. Yeah. And I want to make sure that we get a return.
She tells you that she will keep your fan mail.
Yeah. Okay. We paid that calligrapher quite a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It is a very flowing. So the very next morning we set up provision from our meager supply.
All right. She breaks out her husband's old sets of snowshoes and hands them off to you in case you need them.
She had a husband?
Some time ago, she says.
Oh, okay. You won't even find that mage hand.
He left 20 years ago, and I'm the better for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
What? James Dark Magic.
James Felonious Dark Magic.
So bad.
James Winifred Dark Magic.
Winifred. <All right. laughs> That's official. He laughed. That's canon.
That's canon. Right.
You're Winifred.
All right. So yeah. you get your traveling gear.
Yeah.
And you head out along the Eastern Trade Road, out of Fallcrest, past Thunderspire, which is this great mountain that sort of thrusts up from the middle of the Nentir Vale.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's all kinds of badness there, but...
But that's for higher-level characters.
Or maybe you've heard it's for lower-level characters.
Oh, yes.
Whatever makes you feel happy.
Characters of third to fifth level have found adventure and riches.
This time of year, with this amount of snow, there's not a lot of traffic on the road.
Yeah.
And it's really a lonely, lonely journey. And after almost 2.5 days of drudgery, you see this large building by the roadside with steep pitched roofs,
big piles of snow
around it.
All right.
Bigger than that. Yeah, considerably bigger. There's a small building sort of located outside of it that's almost completely buried. It might have been an outhouse. Might still be. But you also see smoke billowing out of the chimneys.
Can we see if there's any tracks in the snow around the building? Or, you know, does it appear that there's been...
There seems to be traffic, et cetera? Yes.
Okay.
Not as much as you might hope to find.
Were you the proprietor of the Five League House?
Who are you talking to?
Oh, no, I'm saying the idea that, well...
If you were the proprietor...
Yeah, you'd like to see more tracks.
Yes,
if possible.
Absolutely.
I think we should go into the Five League House and ask if we can find Barton.
I agree.
I don't imagine it'll be difficult.
When you walk in, you see a comfortable, well-lit establishment with dark wood paneling on the walls and a giant roaring fireplace. And you can see mounted above the fireplace is what appears to be a minotaur's head.
Ooh.
These guys don't F around.
I examine it. Is this one of those novelty minotaur heads?
If you walk by,
don't
saying,
think
don't
so.
Worry and be happy.
Yeah, exactly. Like the horns go, you know.
I just start discarding traveling
sloughing
gear
off, yeah.
As I walk towards a fireplace, and then I do that thing where I sit against the fire till I can almost not stand it on my back, and then I lay against the bear rug.
Excellent.
It feels really good. I do that once or twice.
You can all make perception checks.
Oh, yes.
18.
21. 15.
29.
That's good. Oh, that's better.
Man.
That's an improvement.
It is sort of a quiet, desolate room you're in, and you're poking around, and you're looking behind the bar, and Benwin, you see there's a lot of dwarven ales on tap. Aelifel, you go over to a window, and you park the curtain, and you see behind the building, out by the stables, there is a large man, a giant man, possibly as close to 7 feet tall, basically trying to pull the stable doors closed through the snow. And he is completely bundled up, heaps of furs. He almost looks like a bear. And he kind of turns away from the doors, leaving them maybe a sliver open, and starts to trudge his way back toward the inn.
Well, I helped myself to one of the dwarven ales. I mean, there's no one here, right?
No, there's no one.
Yeah, I start pouring it in my stein. Okay. I want to try one of the nicer ones.
Yeah.
Well, it's just going to collapse into one of the, I assume, overstuffed chairs near the fireplace.
Yeah. I can get you to check out the decorations, trying to derive as much as I can about the ownership.
You do notice that behind the bar there is a great sword mounted on the wall. It's got a number of nicks in it. And you see some blood sort of encrusted in the hilt.
Yeah, in Dwarven, we reserve the right to refuse services.
Exactly. There is a huge noise from what appears to be a back room, maybe the kitchen, of somebody entering the establishment. And then when this giant bear walks into the common area, you realize there's a human under those furs.
Deep. Yes. Deep below.
Exactly. And he stares at you with ice blue eyes and says, "Where are you from?"
We're from all over. Fallcrest, most recently. We're looking for Barton.
I'm Barton.
I extend a hand to the pile of animal carcasses.
All right, this huge ham hock mitt comes out.
Emerges.
He's got like a big woolly glove on the end of it, and he shakes your hand and sort of pulls you in close, and he says, "Fallcrest, eh?"
Yeah, Nathan Fearingray sent us along. He said you're having some road trouble.
And no shit.
Quite. I'm taking it back.
Nathan Fearingray sent you here.
Indeed, the same.
My gods.
he suggested you might have road troubles.
Yeah, he sort of sheds his heaps of furs and throws them on the end of the bar.
They crawl away.
Now he's only about 6'6".
Okay, so he's still a whole heap of man.
A big dude.
And he says, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I know you.
I am Jim Dark Magic."
You are Jim Dark Magic. I have heard of you. I have heard of you. And you're Omen.
Yeah.
You're Binwin.
Yes.
And you.
Uh-oh.
Are new.
Yes.
Yeah, he probably heard about the old story.
Let me get you some drinks. I also have some bread and some beef jerky.
Yeah, well.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. Everything you just said sounds good.
And he dives behind the bar and he pulls out everything. And,
awesome.
All kinds of dwarven ale. And he says, "Damn Nathan Fearingray. I haven't seen him in years. We served together."
In what context?
I was in the militia.
Oh, the earlier defense of Fallcrest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I helped build the very walls that protect that town before I moved out here.
God, what brought you all the way out here?
My love of dwarven ale.
Oh, clink.
That is a handsome stein.
Oh, yes. You don't want to see the business end of this.
Hells no.
I mean, it has two business ends, right?
It does.
Depends on what kind of business you're engaged in.
Well, why in the hell should he send you out here in this time of year?
Well, he gave us the impression that you had trouble on the roads.
There's always trouble on the road. Trouble on the road for the past 5 years.
Well, specifically murderous trouble that robs caravans, I guess, would be the
You're
particulars.
Talking about the bandits of Raven Roost.
Exactly.
They are the least of our concerns.
I nod at you. Mm-hmm, yes, that's what I was talking about.
He says, "Do not concern yourself with these brigands. You should be more concerned with the desperados from Hammerfest."
Dwarven desperados?
I shit you not.
Dwarven desperados? I have never heard those two words put together.
Nor have I in my many years.
He says, "The bandits of Raven Roost have been a problem, yes. Merchant caravans can't get from here to Thunderspire without them jumping out of the bushes. But Hammerfast sends this company of dwarves to deal with the problem, because apparently dwarven merchants have been among those most besieged. And what do? Solve the bandit problem? No. They prey on the very merchants they're supposed to protect."
So they've gone into business for themselves.
What is going on? I have never heard of this.
These are your people.
Yeah.
Not my people. I do not like the sound of this at all.
So now, dwarven bandits of Raven Roost, and we have these dwarven rapscallions running around.
So do they operate under official Hammerfast auspices?
He says, "I don't really understand
those words.
What you mean by..."
So they have the blessing of a lord?
Yeah.
Or some other... Noble?
Evidently, they were sent by the leader of the merchant guild in Hammerfast, a woman named Marcinda Goldspinner.
Oh, I know her.
Dwarves are,
proud. They come here, they stay here, they drink my ale, they go off into the night, lurk about on the roads.
Are they in league with the bandits? Are they together, or do they...
How should I know? I can't talk to these men.
Well, I am flummoxed. Dwarves are a proud race, and we earn our wealth legitimately. We don't need to go...
Then why is it that they owe me so much money?
He's got a good point, Vinwin.
I don't like this at all.
They have never paid for the ale they drink.
They don't even
here.
Pay for the ale they drink.
And I can't very well throw them out without alienating the merchant.
He can't.
And they leave behind a dwarven stink.
Oh, heavens, yes.
I don't know what you're talking about at all.
You are not like them, my friend.
Hmm. He's a little.
Not at all.
He's a little bit.
Anyway, he's little.
I can't believe that the merchants. Masters of Hammerfast would entertain dealing with these scurvy dogs.
Please, can we go to Hammerhead?
Hammer time.
Please, can we go to Hammerman?
Hammerman.
I wonder, I say, Barton, do you have a wagon?
He says, I do, and it is in fine working shape. And I have sturdy horses.
Okay.
You can avail yourselves of them if you wish.
I see, do you have any empty barrels of this dwarven ale you're constantly speaking of?
He says, 3 out back.
Okay. Let's get those loaded into the wagon, and then tomorrow...
I never thought to have asked for a wagon.
And then tomorrow, I want to appear as a delicious, crisp apple to these desperados.
I'm drawn, you are a crafty sort.
I do it. I'm gonna ride in the undercarriage.
Will I be in a keg?
Yes.
Is that
tomorrow
where your
morning, first
me?
Thing, I will get the wagon out and hitch it to the horses, and I will put those barrels on the back and send you on your way. This is splendid. Splendid.
So
I yawn. It's been a long day.
I assume the largest room upstairs is for me, or
the penthouse.
Your room.
He says you have the run of the place.
I'll sleep at the bar.
He's just underneath
the bar.
In the drippings below the kegs.
It's just another weeknight.
We're
going to fight tomorrow. I'm going to need to have a good amount of beer inside
okay.
me.
I ask him if he has any more detailed maps of the route so that I can sort of analyze it for tactical purposes.
He says, from here, it is a slow and winding road up the foothills of the Dogforge Mountains to Hammerfast.
Is it a forested mountain? Like, or just lots
there
of rocky
are trees
crags?
Here and there.
Okay.
Jim comes back from being upstairs, and he's in a long purple nightgown, and he's combing, he's brushing his hair. What's going on tomorrow?
I'll tell you in the morning.
All right. He goes back upstairs.
All right. Barton will busy himself with cooking something for you while you're... sorting through your rooms.
Yeah, yeah. I just, while I'm poring over this map, I'm chewing on a strand of jerky that I've been chewing on for about an hour at this point.
All right. Morning comes.
Yeah.
Yes. The wagon is sitting out there in front of the five-league house, laden with 3 empty barrels.
Awesome.
How wide and stout are these barrels?
Oh, they're hefty. They're...
All right, so I'll be up front.
Are you going to conceal yourself among the
well, I'm fine to
because I'll drive.
You yeah. should drive.
Yeah, you
I should be hidden because
yeah.
I don't want to.
And Jim is slight
and should ride shotgun.
Yeah,
to act as a mystical shotgun.
I'm spindly and tall, and I look.
And then I'll
yeah,
be under,
I'll sit in the back.
I'll
yeah,
be under
you
a bunch
hide.
Of blankets.
Yeah,
right? I have warm blankets.
Right.
I'm not in a keg, am I?
No. You have to be in a keg.
You really want to be in a keg, don't you?
I thought you were going to shove me in a keg.
No, I don't think that would work. Anyway, so yeah, just he's heaped it up with furs, I assume.
Yes,
we've got merchandise.
I'm just talking to my hammer.
Yeah, he throws some like wooden boards in there in case the wagon gets stuck and you need to put something underneath the wheels.
Yeah,
he gives you everything.
Yeah, he's got experience with these mountain roads, so
it looks like these horses could climb a cliff. If
exactly.
They really
we have. Kitty litter in case there's a patch of ice.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow.
He says 12 miles.
No right. problem. I nod, bring the scarf around the front, and let's get hee-ah.
We will solve your bandit problem, Barton.
He says.
Both of them. We'll be back by tomorrow.
He says, okay. I have every faith that you will.
Jim Dark Magic.
You are all great.
Jim Winks.
Yeah,
what?
What?
Jim Winks.
thought you said Jim Winkstill like it was a goodbye.
I did. You did. Jim Winkstill.
Yeah, but he thought that Jim says Jim Winks, and he goes Jim Winks. Like,
it's like Jimmy Winks.
Dude, I love Barton so much.
Jimmy Winks.
Yeah, Jim says,
"Hey, Jimmy Winks, down.
Have a magical day."
All right, and you head off up the road. Heading east toward the Dawnforge Mountains. You can all make perception checks.
And I will.
27.
16.
Jeez. I love to...
Wow, 27.
I love to...
Good perception.
I love to perceive.
I'm not from...
20.
You're very Legolas, walking on snow, hearing everything.
What do your Aelophiles see?
Elves are our hillbilly cousins.
So,
I'm sorry, I forgot.
All right, so it sounds like Aelophel got the big number.
Yeah.
All right. As you are leaving the Five League house, you're maybe a few hundred yards away, you sort of turn back and you can see Barton waves at you with his big hand. But you also see that there seems to be someone perched on the roof of Five League house back there. A small, almost spindly man. And he is basically just clinging literally to the top of a gable.
What?
What?
Weird.
Jim nudges Aelophel and is like, "Stop the car!"
I'm gonna stop the horses.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like
as we're riding away, like, I mean, Omen is actually sitting on the back of the cart watching the back. I just jump off.
Okay. When you look back again, it's gone.
Jim shouts back, "There was a guy on your roof.
He's gone now, though. Okay,
he left. Do you know that guy that was on your roof?"
Guy!
On your roof!
Roof!
Yeah!
He looks up toward his roof.
Yeah, he's gone now.
He waves.
Okay.
Yeah, I...
He puts his hands on his hips.
No, it's cool.
Yeah. Okay, no.
Wait, there was something on the roof. I saw it.
Yeah, there was a guy.
And then it was gone.
He waves.
Jim turns back.
Roof.
He knows him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're friends. Maybe he lives there.
Sometimes, you know, houses have guys on the roof. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, they just cling there, and that's, you know.
Did I see anything?
It looked like a man, but like a sort of a, almost like a childlike figure. And it was clothed in warm clothing.
You didn't see anything. It's
long talons.
All
right, no.
A cloak of some sort.
Yeah. I jump back up on the back of the wagon and hit it a couple times.
Okay. Yep. You see Barton has sort of moved back inside the building.
To hang out with his weird spindly friend.
And his throat slit. He goes, "What? Oh, roof!"
I say a silent prayer to Melora to watch over him as the distance betwixt us grows larger.
And Jim starts in with 99 bottles of ale.
A bourbon ale.
Bourbon ale on the wall.
It's going to be a long journey. I'll turn this cart around.
The Dawnforge Mountains begin to loom above you as you pass through the foothills and up into the sort of craggy, more craggy areas.
The crags.
Exactly.
Shall we say?
You see Hammerfast ahead. It is perched on a ledge, sort of clinging at the mouth of a pass. It's sort of like the guard sentinel of this winding road through the mountains that you've heard about. Also important trade route. The stronghold itself is fairly low set. You see a bunch of stone buildings kind of rising up, sort of heaped upon one another atop this plateau. The road goes right up to a gate. What you know of Hammerfast, like I said, it used to be a necropolis. And some evidence of that remains in the structure and design.
The mausoleum type things,
yes,
looming faces.
But built among them, you see more modern, blocky stone dwarven architecture.
It's really strange.
When you get to the gate, there are some fur-laden dwarves. You see they've got kind of metal masks hidden under their parkas, and you see their metal gauntlets clutching thick-handled halberds. And they come up to you as your wagon stops before them. One of them holds up a gloved hand. The gates are open. It doesn't look like... But they seem very interested.
In it. They don't see any dwarves on this cart. No. And so they're wondering exactly what is going on.
Yeah. And one of them says in dwarven, "Ho!"
You want to manage this? Yeah. Since you're on the front of the cart.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not so much with the charisma, so.
But you're so much with just, the gravelly
just,
voice.
Just be ready.
Yeah.
And you see him sneeze.
Okay, at least a gross cup of cold mucus.
Gross.
We are simple merchants come from the Five League Inn. We have empty casks that must be refilled. We seek the dwarven ale.
How many of you are there?
Just the two of us.
No, I'm sitting on the back, like literally. And also this other guy.
Yeah, and him. Three. Just the two of us plus one.
Just three.
Just the two of us.
We can make it if we try.
God dang. This I'm staying very quiet.
He sort of stands in front of the horses, and the other dwarf kind of comes around the back of the wagon and sort of looks in, taps on one of the barrels with his weapon. Dum, dum,
dum. Yeah.
Sounds hollow.
Yeah. Has a pleasing sound.
Yeah. Taps on another one. Dum, dum, dum. Taps on the third. Dum, dum, dum. And then,
not enough room. You may, you may go through now.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows what you just
and
just
waves you
like
through.
Yeah.
All right. You enter the town. You see that dwarves are milling around, really undeterred by the cold, snappy weather here, the wind whipping through. It sort of howls through around the corners of the various buildings. One of the alarming things that you notice is that...
Is that an alarm?
Not an alarm. Oh. But among the dwarves walking through town, you see the occasional spectral apparition that just sort of glides.
What?
Are these like dwarven apparitions?
In fact, the one or two that you see, like within a minute of entering this place, do seem to be dwarves. And then you come to a square where there are actually two living dwarves apparently conversing with what appears to be a dwarven ghost.
Could I make either a religion or an arcana check to see what I know about these spirits?
Sure.
If I recognize them?
A religion check would be great.
That's hot.
28.
It dawns on you something that you were told by some dwarven fans of yours back in Fallcrest that one of the odd things about Hammerfest was in order to build the settlement here, the dwarven clan lords had to come to an agreement with the indigenous population, most of whom were dead. and a compact was reached whereby the two, the living and the dead, would agree to basically live in harmony here. And a lot of the dwarven ghosts that persist here exist because they have either tasks unfinished or they're cursed. And some of them are content with that, and others try to use the living to help them end these curses.
Wow.
That's great.
I relate all that to you.
Yeah. It's sort of like they work a minimum wage job or
you
something.
You know what's funny? Is coming from you, it's probably true, but coming from you, I'm like, pfft. You know, because you're like, oh, yeah, the ghosts, they're always they lived here.
It's like Ebony and Ivory, yeah. You know?
Anyway, you were told by Barton that a certain Marcinda Goldstein
exactly,
apparently
the merchant's
hired these dwarven desperados. You can make a streetwise check to ascertain where she might be.
I'm not making a streetwise
check. Well, I only made 14.
20.
I'm not very sure.
Actually, 21.
Okay. It doesn't take you much to pull up alongside some dwarves and ask for, when you ask about Marcinda Goldspinner, they point you to her right away. She is one of the key figures in town. You know that this thriving community basically is ruled by a council of leaders. Each leader is responsible for a guild, and Marcinda, the merchant's guild.
So she's plugged deeply into the ebb and flow of
this
city.
Exactly. So they point you to her clan hold manor.
Awesome. Yeah. We roll it up.
Yeah, let's roll it up there.
All right. Okay.
You should expose yourself. Now is the time to for you.
Now it's for me to come out.
I pop out of the like, hey!
You see this dominant domed stone structure with gold glyphic inlays in the pillars and balustrades, and you park your wagon out in front of the portico, and a white-haired dwarf who looks like he might have seen you through a slit in the door cracks open the door and waves at you.
Yeah, yeah. I pull the scarf down and pull it back over my head.
All right. You can see that in addition to his sort of wispy, long white hair, that he has a large cataract in one of his eyes, and you can see that he's missing one of his arms.
Wow.
That's a catamaran. That's a different thing.
He says, hello, come in.
out of the cold.
Yeah, there's a lot about this guy I don't like. He's got a boat in his eye. There's a lot of strange shit going on.
He leads you to the lady of the house. And you can see that...
That's not Goldspinner, I assume. I assume we have to navigate a treacherous weave of bureaucrats first, right?
Indeed, no.
Oh.
They're very efficient, apparently. In
yeah.
Yes. And you can see that her manor doesn't have a lot of traffic through it. You can see that there is a young dwarven woman who is apparently reading to some dwarven children off in a side room, but you're led past her into a sort of a plush, opulently furnished chamber with a large stone hearth, and there is a dwarf sitting on a stool by a window, and she looks like she's a sort of an auburn-haired
beauty,
rather attractive, and she's got gems woven through her hair. She's very shapely, but she's painting.
Does that do it for you, Jim?
She seems to be painting what looks like an elven glade.
Oh,
a nature scene.
That's very nice.
In the dead of winter.
Yes, it's beautifully sunlit, and obviously a summer sun-dappled scene.
Yeah, yeah. I knock twice on the door, so that I don't want to come in. Hey, what's up? I want to make sure that would scare me if I was painting.
You have guests, my lady.
Thank you, Oka. You may leave.
Get out of your boat eye.
And he slinks off, and she turns to you, and you see she's this rosy-cheeked, voluptuous dwarven woman.
Jim styles up to her. You're very good at what you do.
Are you referring to my painting?
Gesture to the easel. That's an opportunity.
You're also a good painter, yeah.
Aelifel, I'd like you to make a perception check.
25.
You get the sense that she is almost feigning an elven kind of accent or dialect. It doesn't sound like it's her natural voice.
It's
an affectation.
This is exactly like
Madonna's British accent.
Mm-hmm. Well, she does have a room full of children.
Yeah, exactly.
I would like to look as surreptitiously as I can at this painting,
yes,
and see if I recognize anything out of it.
It says you are all going to die,
but it's like in flowers.
You get the immediate impression that it is a real place, like some place you may have seen in your youth, and some place undoubtedly she has seen, and she's trying to paint from memory.
I would like to say to her in Elven, "That's a very beautiful glade."
She kind of looks at you.
Oh,
and
that's
kind of
awesome.
In sort of fumbled elven, she says, "Thank much."
A little bow.
Well, she's a dwarf, though, right?
Yes, thankly times. All right. I've got some elven, too, so I can pick up that she basically dropped the ball on that. Dropped the elven ball.
She has some trouble.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm going to step forward and try to get the reins of the conversation.
Okay.
I say, we're here from the, on behalf of Barton from the Five League House, and he's told us some very strange stories, and we thought we should come to you before we investigated them any further. Strange stories about goings-on on the road.
She sighs.
That's a long pause. Should I read anything into that?
She says, "You work for Barton?"
I work for myself, but I'm associated with Barton.
You should be careful about who you associate with.
Well, we know he has kind of a weird guy that is up on his roof. Is that who you're talking about?
What do you say?
Because that freaked us out, too.
You can see that she kind of looks a little nervously at you, like she's trying to read you. And she says, "He sent you here because of the dwarves, the Ambershard dwarves."
Ambershard.
What? Did you say that you have
elven?
Yeah.
Amber Shard?
So
yeah. And she won't get it, probably.
And she won't get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Did he just say Amber Shard?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Binwin does not like the name Amber Shard. I spit my drink out at the sound of the name and start cursing.
What
do you know of the Amber Shard dwarves?
They're horrid. We can't control them.
The Amber Shards are here in Hammer Time?
In here? In Glimmerdome?
She says, "I have warned all of my merchants to be wary of dealings with them. They have a manor here. They operate out of it.
Citrine Ambershard.
You know her, yes.
Blackmailed Thane Zanbold to give over control of a mine that the Bronze Bottoms owned, and it ruined us. That's why I had to come out here and join you guys, because we were broke.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Because of the Amber Shards. Well, don't get me wrong.
Whoa, really?
Yes.
Really? Dude.
The Amber Shards ruined my family.
She says, Citrine Amber Shard maintains a household here.
Let's go talk to this chick.
And their response...
I'm going to talk to you in Elvish for a minute.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some Elven shit, okay? Yeah.
Michael, you go to the bathroom. I'm going to talk in Elvish for a minute. Yeah. She was really perturbed by us associating with Barton. She's very upset about these Ambershard dwarves.
Right.
We should just cautiously perceive that we're not getting played against the middle.
I always assume I'm being played against the middle and by a third party whose designation I am not yet familiar with.
But if she thinks that it's bad news that we're associated with Barton, we may be able to use that to our advantage as we.
I would like to roll an insight check to see if she's being honest with
you guys. Nodding, yeah.
But he doesn't know enough.
He doesn't speak up.
Oh God, I'm too angry. I'm too angry.
You throw the stein at the wall.
Yeah, I'm pacing.
I say so.
She seems to be a little seething herself. That much you can tell.
I say so. Madam,
my father stopped drinking because of this.
Daddy drunk?
We don't talk about that anymore. Yeah. I hold a hand to steady him on his shoulder.
Chambered and ready to go.
Oh, I just made that up.
That's the perfect one.
She says,
"What? My father stopped drinking." Yeah.
Bronzebottom, I'm so sorry. The shame.
I'm just walking, and my hammer's just hitting the ground as I walk. I'm just pacing.
No, you should walk around and start dragging it like like Charlie Brown.
He puts an arm around you.
Here, so exactly. So I steady friend Bronzebottom. I say, Madam Goldspinner, so are we to understand that these violent dwarves that are terrorizing the roads are none of your doing?
No.
All right, I want to verify that using a skill.
Okay.
Let's see if her lying is as bad as her elven.
Ooh, nice.
Good roll.
That's a 20. No, that's
a 20. It's a good roll and it's a good line.
Yeah.
It's a 23.
You get the sense that she has a genuine, utter distaste for the Amber Shards and everything that they stand for. And that, and when she goes on to elaborate, that she basically serves as the matron to
a consortium.
Yeah. Exactly. That she has vehemently tried to deter of her merchants from dealing with the Amber Shards, but somehow the Amber Shards always seem to winnow their way into others' business dealings. And
it sounds like they have a history of that.
Unfortunately, no one will stand against them.
That ends today.
She says, I will support you any way I can. Still continuing with her affectation.
I look out the window out at the necropolis.
Okay.
And say, make sure they got a nice place to bury us. And I turn around and walk out the door.
She says, stop.
No, I just did the cool line.
Owen leaves. The three of you are standing
there. Yeah, Jim and everyone else.
Right. Yeah. I wonder how many times that happens where it's like, blah, blah, blah. That's it. All right.
And then we're all like, he's very... So anyway...
Yeah, that was a good line.
That's our boss.
You won't come back after that. What did you need to say?
Well, I wanted to give you all of the information that I could about the Amber Shards if you intend to get in their face.
We're going to get in their face.
Sounds like we intend to do that.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us what you know?
Their manor is a converted mausoleum.
Creepy.
That's awesome.
It's,
we'll know where to bury them.
Oh!
You're
ripping me the fuck off now.
Yeah, that's... Sorry.
I screwed up all the mausoleum lines.
Binwin Menacea.
My father stopped drinking. What? What is that?
Binwin Buckley.
Wow.
All right, you guys.
Ambershard!
You guys are led through three sets of stone doors into Marcinda's secret, what she calls her war room.
Ooh.
And she breaks out a bunch of what appear to be scrolls, but then you realize that they are maps. And she says, I acquired these from the Cartographers Guild for just such an eventuality, and I have received information from a number of the resident ghosts who have managed, using their insubstantiality, to glean the interior of the Amber Shard Manor structure.
It's Andy.
Madam Goldspear, you seem
super... You're not here. You left.
Oh, that's right. Oh, it's still in the room?
No,
okay.
We got it.
No, you got him back.
Okay, okay. I'll come back in. Well, it was pretty cool line, though. Madam Goldspear...
Do you want to go back inside?
No, I'm good. Yeah, I see. You seem incredibly well prepared for an eventuality like this.
She says, yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm glad you shared my distaste for the Amber Shards.
Of course, cannot authorize.
Oh, no, of course not. But I hope that you can authorize a payment from the Merchant Guild's considerable stores.
She says, this is a great threat, I think we agree. And anything that you find is yours.
I just want to, as an aside with Elman, Jim pulls you over and says, I'm sure these Amber Shard people are bad, but is there some sort of law enforcement we should talk to before we start a raid in their town? I'm just saying, I would not survive in jail. I cannot do time. Jim cannot do time.
Not with a butt like that.
Whoa!
Hey, I know she saw it. Right back at you, sweetheart.
So you're worried about prison? You're worried about dwarven prison?
Focus on success.
But should we keep how much of the download?
That's interesting. You're an interesting lady.
I've heard of dwarven pound me in the ass prison, and it's not.
And turn him from the rest of the group. Seriously, I cannot go to jail.
It's just a marble.
No jail can hold you, Jim Dark Magic. But a man can, and he will.
So you don't want
to. It might be obvious to you, but I am interested in calling the threats to our merchants, and
Jim, don't worry. If we rid this place of the Amber Shards, we'll be considered heroes.
Why hasn't the natural law of the town rid them of
the Amber Shards? Have a great deal of influence.
Say, what happens if a house is destroyed in your town? Is there a system in place for that? I mean, is this Menzo Baraznan?
Like, she says, it would do well for us to have an escape plan for you.
See? Jail. She's talking about jail.
Escaping to jail.
Let me tell you what I know, and then you can decide whether the risk is worth the reward.
Yes.
She says,
sold.
The matron of House Amber Shard is Citrine, a powerful dwarf wizard who desperately wants to be on the Council of Masters in Hammerfast. But she isn't. That is one thing she has not been able to achieve. Ambershard Manor, as I mentioned, is a converted mausoleum, a building without windows. The entrance is the main doors, and that is it. And the entrance is guarded.
Don't like that either.
By Thazen Stormbellow.
I hate that.
Never heard of it.
A dwarf knight on the Ambershard payroll, and a former adventuring colleague of Citrine's dead husband, Duracus Ambershard.
Does this ring any bells for you, Prince Bronzebaum?
No.
Thazen is extremely dangerous.
So far, risk versus reward does not sound worth it.
I haven't heard of reward.
I vote for no.
He killed a red dragon by himself.
I vote double no.
Wow. He fucked a red dragon in the ass.
He lives in a cabin on the Ambershard property, inside the walls of the mountain.
What? No!
With his dire boar mount.
Jim,
what do you mean? His dire boar what? This is in character.
Jim wants to know if there's an Olive Garden in town. Because
you want to hit the OG?
I want to hit the OG, get some breadsticks, let's talk about this.
It is widely known that the doors to Ambershard Manor are sealed, and Thazen has been gifted. He alone has the power to open them.
Omen.
Killing him won't make it any easier to get inside.
Omen, I can see that you guys are considering not doing this.
Yes.
Now listen, I just want you to know how serious I am about this. I am willing to give up my cut of this adventure.
I didn't hear
except
reward.
For magic items.
Your cut of our death. I don't want it. That's the only...
At this point, we may die as a result of cuts.
Yeah.
So, many cuts. I want you to think about that.
It is widely known among the various clan leaders that the Amber Shards truck with demons.
It's not getting better. Stop talking.
Whatever.
No. I don't want to hear anymore. We need to go
this
now.
This is a test. This
of
is
what? This, an emergency fucking broadcast.
This is a test. We are either Acquisitions Incorporated, and we acquire anything that needs acquiring.
What are we acquiring?
We're requiring my family's honor back.
We acquire physical objects. That's another incorporation.
Trust me, Citrine Ambershard, she's been not only has she been robbing merchants, but who knows what other treasures she's got in there. She is
no
a thief.
No one knows, apparently.
She has a
bronze bottom. I stand with you.
She has an artifact.
I usually find you overly dramatic, but I'm with you this time.
I usually find your stench overwhelming.
Whoa, she has an artifact. Is it a magical artifact?
Yes, it is. It's called the Invulnerable Coat of Iron.
We should go.
It's a coat?
It is believed to lie somewhere in Ambershard Manor. It used to be the property of Lord Darathus Ambershard.
What exactly does it do?
Which leads to my dad.
She says,
mom.
I am glad you asked. And she hands you a scroll containing, all the information that she knows on the coat. And for your benefit, I present to you the Invulnerable Coat of Arms.
You want to read that, Will?
Oh, shit, it's canon.
This gleaming chainmail belonged to a poor cleric of Kord who fought to free his village from its tyrannical baron. Imbued with the cleric's fighting spirit and holy strength, the Invulnerable Coat of Arms seeks to reclaim its ancient glory. It is a suit of +2 chainmail. You gain +5 acid, +5 fire, +5 lightning. You gain a +2 item bonus to saving throws. At will divine weapon, you can use Valiant Strike. Power at will minor. Change one of the resistances granted by the armor to any of the following damage types. Acid, cold, fire, force, lightning, necrotic. Remember how unpleasant it is to take necrotic damage?
It's bad.
Psychic or radiant. That resistance remains changed until you use the power at will to change it again.
Timmy winks.
And, as another power, change the invulnerable coat into plate armor, scale armor, or chainmail.
Yes!
Not cloth?
For me!
For my cloth?
What?
You can change. You can spend a healing surge.
That sounds like my dad's old cloak of invulnerable coat of invulnerable arms.
So that's incredible.
That from us.
I mean, that's the sort of thing you hear about in a story.
The invulnerable coat thrives on danger, so it urges its wearer to take on increasingly difficult risks.
Yes, too bad we don't have that on now.
The invulnerable coat's not happy unless the wearer is throwing itself into battle. Planning and strategy aren't high on the artifact's list of priorities. The invulnerable coat doesn't communicate with its wearer, but its emotional state does rub off, so the owner feels elated in battle and despairs at defeat.
Can we jump to the next podcast where I'm wearing this?
Okay, so that's
some pretty bad.
That's the sort of thing Indiana Jones would go get.
Jim is willing to go after a magical artifact.
There is also the treasure that these dwarves in the Ambershard employ have looted from my various merchants, which I would gladly bequeath to you to be rid of the menace. I should also point out, however, that Citrine Ambershard is involved in other sordid affairs in town. Convicted criminals.
I see. So her group is probably built up out of criminals.
Not exactly. Convicted criminals are occasionally brought to Ambershard Manor as subjects of Citrine Ambershard's wizardly experiments. She has perfected a ritual that allows her to trap spirits in the lifeless bodies of constructs, a power she uses to turn worthless criminals into slaves.
At 209.
Which she then sells to nobles and thanes.
And this is okay with your town? This is just the sort of thing that happens?
The authorities of Hammerfast believe it deals with a problem.
Well, let's get our magic shirt.
Let's start by getting the coat.
And get the fuck out.
And get out of town.
There is one other thing. The authorities in Hammerfast recently apprehended a dwarf criminal named Varkus Tenen, but not before he killed several guards. And what you need to know about Varkus is that 6 years ago he was convicted for murdering the master of the Stonemasons Guild. Unfortunately, this person also had familial ties to Thane Zabold.
Well,
Invincible consigned Varkus to hard labor in mines, but he escaped. Rather than have him decapitated this time around, Zarbold was grudgingly persuaded to turn him over to the Ambershards.
Oh no, and now he's bound into some horrible... Now they have a murderer.
This has caused a great deal of consternation among myself and the other masters.
Yeah, I'm concerned.
Who fear that Varkus might escape yet again.
Jim has checked out.
Varkus was brought to the Ambershard Manor the day before yesterday in chains.
No.
Citrine Ambershard is not home at present. She is off inspecting her mines somewhere abroad, but she's left her eldest son, Lear, behind.
I'll kill him.
Does she continue to affect the elven accent throughout all of this?
Yes. That is all she
is. It's growing increasingly annoying.
Yes.
You begin to take ongoing
Ambershard,
damage.
If you are so by an Ambershard, or if you have been turned by an Ambershard.
It's just weird. Like, does it make sense?
That's like, an opportunity to be a dwarf would be cool.
No, that wouldn't be cool either. That would be
I wouldn't know.
That'd be the most cool. That's I'm so
help,
offended.
I wouldn't know.
I'm
right.
So offended.
All right. Let's go.
Yeah, let's
do this.
Thanks for listening to Dungeon Delve. Congratulations! You made it! You get 1,000 XP. Let us know what you think on iTunes with a rating or a review, or by tweeting at wizards_DND. If it's a low review, don't bother posting it, don't be a dick. And if you want more D&D, subscribe to Dragon Talk, the official D&D podcast, or check out the Dragon Plus app on iOS, Android, or on the web at dragonmag.com. The adventure continues in the next episode of Dungeon Delve.